The following podcast has been recorded under the influence of alcohol. While not intentionally offensive, things are said, feelings may be hurt, and f**ks are not given. Clearly, it's the beer's fault.
Episode number 10 of Good Beer, Bad Movie Night, the podcast dedicated to movies of questionable quality and the frosty adult beverages that help make them tolerable. Tonight's feature presentation is the 1990 Ski School. And tonight, Troy will be kicking us off with the six-minute synopsis, where we take 6 minutes to summarize the movie.
Gonna try.
After Troy is done with the 6 minute synopsis, we'll take a quick break, come back with the evening's choice of beverage, and then we will lead back into the discussion of the film. After all that good stuff, we'll wrap up with our six pack rating as well, and we'll let you know just how drunk you may have to be to watch this movie.
Very.
Very indeed. My name is Pete. This is all my fault, and I'd like to introduce you to...
That was so perfectly said. I'm just like... I mean, he's not wrong, but it was just so smooth. I was impressed with that.
I'm working on my transitions, right?
Yeah, you're doing well.
Thank you. Anyway, the voice there here is new equipment.
The transitions
I just banged into something.
Right. So we have with us tonight Kathleen. Hello.
Hello.
And Troy. Thank you.
Hello.
Very good. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
Outstanding. Very good. So tonight's episode, of course, is 1990 Ski School. We really don't recognize a whole lot of people. I sort of do. The main protagonist in this film was in at least one movie that I adore that we'll talk about later.
Yes, Party Idiot number one.
Indeed. So
I feel like Kathleen has opinions about this movie.
I do too, and they're all wonderful. So
that makes one of us.
So without further ado, let's head out to the lobby and grab... Oh, night. No, I did that wrong. I did
See,
it backwards.
See, even he knows we have to be hammered to watch this movie. He's trying to get us drunk before we've even started talking about it.
I just
kind of
wanted to gloss over the whole synopsis. So I will. I will forward this with a... I must apologize to all of our listener for... Troy and I got our wires crossed, and neither of us did a prepared six-minute synopsis. So in a flurry, Troy threw one together. We certainly hope that we have 6 minutes here. If we don't, we all forgive you, Troy.
We will see if this six is his
You talk pretty.
We will see if this is 6 minutes or synopsis. I don't – there are words on a page. I'm going to go for it.
You're going to go. Okay. Well, I appreciate you doing this in short notice. And Troy also bought the beer for the week. So I'm looking forward to that as well. So without further ado, Kathleen Dave, who's got it?
I got it going.
Kathleen's got it.
Okay. Right. Troy, please. For the 1990 Ski School, commence.
Well, this starts right for an 80s sex romp ski school movie. Synthesizer drum machine over a montage of skiing, boobs, partying, and a voiceover explaining what the plot's going to be. Which is, there is a ski competition weekend, and they're going to... and each of the schools have to prove that their school is the best. And it explains, the voice, that Reed Jansen is the best. And that Dave Marbeck, I think.
Marchek.
It's kind of hard to...
Marchek.
The ski instructor of Section 8 beat him once, and he's like the closest competition, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So, anyway.
Roll with it.
They're the party guys. Section 8 is the party guys, and the first section...
Section 1.
...is the Cobra Kai's. So
he is not wrong.
They're the alphas.
Yes.
So, but Dave is missing Reed's exhibition in the beginning. What could be going on? He's partying. Of course he is. He's got beer pouring all over himself. And they're preparing for the competition their own way. This is all you really ever need to know about this movie, that there's good guys and Cobra Kai's.
It rhymes.
And Cobra Kai.
There's a weird thing in the where Reed comes up and asks Dave if he's seen his recruits yet. And I don't understand how the competition works. I thought that they were the people from his ski school, but apparently they get recruits because then there's this weird scene of Fritz, who is Dave's buddy, waking up and looking over at the recruits and screaming randomly, and because there's three random-looking guys sitting there. So you kind of have to go with this movie a lot. You're just going to be like, all right, that's what's true. Happening now. And then enter John Roland. And John Roland is the mysterious skier from Wisconsin, I believe he said.
Montana.
That's close to Wisconsin, I think. And he's not good enough to join the first section because he can't explain where it is that he skied or who he skied with. But you know he's going to be good. And he proves himself in the preliminaries. So Reed gets extra douchey with his guys, and he doesn't notice that his super hot girlfriend, Paulette, is struggling to work out in the background while he's yelling at the other guys to push it and work it and, you know, blow your delts or whatever. So Fritz is walking by and sees Paulette struggling, and and I'm losing my place.
Yeah.
And so he walks in and he says, I'm going to help you, and he winds up burying his nose in her boobs, which she thinks is hilarious. Minor sexual assault is great with her. And and then throughout the rest of the movie, Fritz will continue to stalk this lady, and she will continue to think that it's pretty charming. It's one of those plot lines that makes me realize how old I am and why my game was so bad as a teen, because you should never use 80 sex romps as a template for how to pick up girls, okay?
True story.
So anyway, so after the workout scene, we cut to Section 8 partying. So this is going to happen a lot. And then we cut back to first section party, and Section 8 that thinks this party is super lame. Everyone still has their clothing on, says Fritz. God, what kind of party is that? So, but this party does give Fritz the opportunity to spill wine down Paulette's dress. So, you know, there's that. Then there's a blonde girl who appears, and a Section 8 guy, Johnny, motions to her, and then, you know, he's in. So he must motion really well. And Fritz spies on Paulette changing her clothes. Then Section 8 finds the control panel, or whatever, and the lame music is exchanged for louder lame music, and leading to my favorite line of the film. A couple of up-tempo songs like this, yeah, this party can get out of control fast. So they throw Ed, because obviously he was the one that changed the music, because he's having fun on the dance floor, and so that obviously that means that they have to have revenge, which begins the series of events that I think is why they made the movie, because they had a great idea of how they could trick two guys into saying funny things by using a blonde girl and then trick them into bed together, and they'd show it on the TV for everybody to laugh at. It helps that it's also in the middle of Reed's weird ski school commercial that he was really into enjoying.
We're still in the first act.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Johnny and the blonde hook up.
You have 1 minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
it's going to go over. So, and the blonde explains to Johnny that there's no strings.
Less substance.
Cut to Section 8 partying. Then there's a subliminal suggestion thing that happens. They convince Ed not to sleep with anybody. They teach a sauna of ladies how to dance the lambada. There's a random super stacked woman who keeps showing up every once in a while and gives Johnny the once over. There's a snowball fight in the cafeteria. Fritz spies on Paulette as she's naked in the hot tub and she thinks that's adorable. Super stacked girl sleeps with Johnny. Blonde girl gets jealous. This is all sounds random, and it is. Cut to Section 8 partying. Scene where their first section cheats blatantly. There's one point where they actually hook Dave with a rope and pull him down the mountain. But, you know.
10 seconds.
They win. Dave has a subliminal suggestion on the blonde girl that she should like Johnny again. She goes for it. And somewhere there's a plot where there's some rich person that's going to buy the mountain. So the current owner tells Section 8 that they aren't allowed to compete anymore.
I can't make the timer stop. There you go.
actually lost. That sucks. Yeah. So then they, so the Section 8 decides that they're going to fight back and they invade the competition. It's their turn to cheat. And they cheat by like having girls flash the guys as they go down and they run into the flags. It's hilarious. So anyway, after all this, cheating pays off and they wind up tied for first place with the first section. So of course it means the battle of the death. They're gonna ski the dome.
To ski off.
To ski off. And whoever wins has to get off the mountain.
And whoever loses.
That's what I meant.
Because listen to what I said.
It really wouldn't make sense the other way around.
But as the movie doesn't make sense.
So there's one thing to remember when you do the dome. You don't go left at Bald Rock. You go right. So of course, what does Johnny do? That crazy kid, he goes left. And he jumps off the cliff ahead of Reed, and they win. Suck it, first section. And then as they're going away and they're celebrating, hold on, wait a minute, the mountain's been sold.
Dun, dun, dun.
What? It's Super Stacked Girl. She bought the mountain, and the mountain is theirs. And Dave asks if anybody's got a problem with that, and everybody says no. And he says, well, let's get naked. That tells you about everything you need to know about this movie.
It's true.
So we end with Dave gets Super Stacked Girl, Fritz gets Paulette, Johnny gets the blonde, Finn.
Oh my god.
You needed an extra 2 minutes.
2 minutes? That was 8 minute synopsis. You know what? I brought 2 4-packs tonight.
Oh. Huh? It's like he was kissing. Oh.
It was that was the best.
I kissed who?
What? You put that together in an hour?
Not
even an hour. I think that's commendable.
Thank you.
While eating Chinese food.
And son of a
while eating Chinese food right now.
But I'm lost.
As discombobulated and crazy as that synopsis is, it's because that's what this movie is.
Pretty much.
Like that whole part where you're like listening and then this and then this and then this and then this. And dear listener is thinking, but what's the plot? That's a great fucking question. I asked that same question the whole time.
And we'll explain more of that.
I'll tell you what the
right after
is.
We drink a beer.
Thank you, Troy. Yes. I think it's a wonderful idea. So, thank you for the 6 minute synopsis, Troy. I appreciate the
it's an 8 minute synopsis
minute.
This time. Really,
it doesn't matter. It worked. You worked very well.
Hey, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That trilogy had way more than three.
Had
books.
Had 5 books. Yeah, yeah. Or 6 or something. Regardless, let us head out to the lobby for a beer. Is everybody thirsty?
Yes.
All right, thank you, man. Okay.
Always.
See you in a minute.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hit it, Dave.
All right.
Nice. We are drinking Fathead's Head Trip, which is a Belgian-style triple ale. I think this is a small...
Batch.
Thank you.
I was like, what? Yes. I was like, small bottle.
What's the word? It's not. It's not one that you are going to find everywhere.
Limited
it's
release.
Kind of hard.
Small batch.
And
seasonal. Probably not even seasonal. Probably just small batch.
I bought this because there was just. There's a newsletter that I subscribe to that I freaking love. If you're in Columbus, subscribe to the Columbus Navigator. Newsletter comes daily into your inbox. It tells you about what's happening around town, events, and then Columbus specific things that they find out around the web. And they just did the top 15 beers in Ohio according to Beer Advocate. And there was a lot of Fathead and Jackie O's on there, and I found this Fathead when I was out looking for beers, and I'm like, you know what, let's do some Fathead.
Sorry, the out of context, that would have sounded really weird.
That's true.
It sounds weird in context. Yeah, that's all right. So I wanted to try it, and I wanted something because I've been so IPA
tired.
Crazy. Yeah, I've just been doing a lot of it, and I'm like, I know that everybody else around me is probably sick of it, so let's do something else. So I decided to try the Belgian Triple Ale, and that's what this is. So
beautiful. I've got a couple of things. Anybody? Have we tried this yet? Anybody?
No, let's do it.
Now, unfortunately, I had a Commodore Perry before this. 2. Oops. So my palate might be all jacked up. So let's give this a sniff and a sip.
Ooh, that's...
Oh, that's good.
Why did I think this initially
smelled
purple?
God damn, that's awesome. Yeah.
What does that taste, though? It's like maybe some... vanilla?
You might have a little vanilla in there. Sure. Yeah. It's a. This is definitely Belgian triple. You said that makes sense. This has a lot of Chimay Bleu. If you get a Chimay Bleu, that's what that tastes like. It might be a little darker in color. It is a golden color beer, straw, maybe a little dark straw.
Mm-hmm.
There's, as with Belgian beers, there's a lot going on. So you have a jungle of flavors.
There's some sweetness.
I get
to
banana.
It.
I get sweet. I get sugar. I get Belgian candy.
Banana. That's what.
Banana.
Yeah. Biggest.
Banana bubble gum.
Bubble gum.
Yep.
Very good. Yep. So those are all,
and it's changing
appropriate, and it will, and it'll change as the beer warms up.
Dude, this is good.
Yeah. I mean, it'll go from whatever the refrigerator was at 34 degrees or 36 degrees. When it gets up to about 44 degrees, the flavor will change.
Have we had Fathead on the show before?
I don't think so.
We have not, but we did have a bottle that looked similar. It was the Gumball Head.
From Three Floyds.
Yes.
Be careful with this. This is a 9.5%.
This is to be respected.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely probably drink more of this than I think I can.
Shockingly, I'm not getting – when beer gets over 8%, maybe over 7.5%, usually if you get a little heat on your tongue as you're drinking it because of the alcohol is evaporating, I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
And that's
pretty
terrifying.
It's a wet beer.
This is good.
Oh, Dave, that is wet. That's nice.
I really like this a lot.
I don't know if it was subliminal marketing because the Fathead's bottle is very the design is tie dye.
Yep.
And when I smelled it, I'm like, why does this smell purple? And I'm like, I don't know if it's like the LSD thing where like it messes with your senses.
Maybe Dave here now has been subliminally
Dave and Dave.
Dave and
my God.
Oh, wow.
My secret I'm found out.
So a couple things off the top of my head. Fathead's is in Cleveland, Ohio, and Cleveland encompasses quite an area. And I don't mean Cleveland itself, but we're including
Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, pretty much. And I forget where the newer production facility is, but
Middleburg Heights.
Oh, okay, very good. Sure. Chris Alamont. Last I knew, Chris Alamont from Gordon Biersch here in Columbus, quit Gordon Biersch and went to Cleveland. This is probably 10 years ago. Hell, so it's probably changed by now. He went up there and was in charge of the production facility as Fathead's was growing. So that was exciting. A Columbus native is now a big, big time. I mean, Gordon Biersch is big shit, but this was big local stuff. So that was a lot of fun. So if Chris is still out there, cheers. Thanks
very much. Yeah, this is really good.
His name is still on the bottle.
Oh, okay. So he's still there.
On the side of it, it says, chill out, man, and have a beer.
Yeah.
Matt Chris Glenn.
Yeah. Chris Alman was a cool dude. He was super cool. And he was very active in the SODs and the Scioto Derby Zimmergist of Central Ohio or something like that.
You're going to have to run that by me one more time.
Never mind. It's a craft beer, a homebrew club in Central Ohio.
Okay. Because all I heard is like shibble, shibble, blah, 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 fizz, fizz.
Also.
And he was highly involved in it.
Yeah, he was. But it was cool to see a commercial brewer involved in a local
homebrew
club.
Right.
Which is super fun. And he didn't bring his own, he didn't bring homebrews because he did it every day.
Did it professionally?
True.
Right.
So also Belgians, interesting. Well, I don't know if it's interesting. It's interesting to me. So fuck off. when the craft beer craze hit.
Pete's been drinking.
I have. When the craft beer craze hit in, I want to say the late 90s, maybe like 98 when it started really picking up steam.
Yeah.
The first beer that everyone was bonkers for was Belgian beers. And Belgian beers was the hot ticket for craft beers.
That makes sense. I mean, it's pretty accessible. I mean, it'll appeal to a lot of people.
It's also hard to make. It's not an easy thing to make. And it's usually high in alcohol content, which means it's a high grain bill, which means it's expensive to make. So as the years went on, as the Belgian craze dipped, the IPA craze came around. And we are on the tail end of that wave. As sours now are taking over the craze for, and I'm not a big fan of sours. I've had a few that are very good, and I don't remember which ones they are. So I need to dip my toe back into that
What's
pool.
The epic tartan sour.
God damn it, that's right. Yes,
that is the best.
That was wonderful. That was really, really wonderful.
Good. Okay, you guys are gonna have to that clue me on what a sour is and what's the difference between a sour and an IPA. I know what an IPA is. I don't know what a Belgian is.
I tell you what, Dave, let's do that on another podcast.
Okay.
Not because I don't want to talk about it, but because I need to brush up on it. I don't want to make this podcast too long. That's what I mean.
And just in case you were wondering, the number one beer on the best beers in Ohio, according to Beer Advocate, Jackie O's Bourbon Barrel Oro Negro.
Really?
Yes.
Black gold.
Yes, that would be what that is. The Bourbon Barrel Black Gold. Say that four times fast. And then the number two beer will be our second beer for the show.
Oh, is it? Okay. I took a peek. I think I know what it is. No, I definitely know what it is. But
I really like this.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Even because I don't love a beer that has a strong banana taste to it because mm-hmm. I don't dig on bananas in general, so a banana flavor or any kind of...
Clove.
Anise, black licorice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't like anise either, but...
No one likes anise. Anise.
God, I walked right into that. Yeah. Eric and Derek might, but... but I do really like this. It's very smooth, so even though it has a very kind of strong taste... It's very smooth.
It is.
I don't know. It is. It's a strong taste that doesn't make you go like, "What was that?"
Right. It's not hitting you in the face with a bag full of pine cones. It's not an IPA can feel like.
Yes,
indeed.
I do like it though, and it is. It's. I don't want to say it's mellowing out as it gets warmer, but it's just opening up.
That's yeah. It'll open up to other flavors where the colder it was, maybe Kathleen, the banana was a little sharp for you, but mm-hmm. as this warms up, I think. You'll discover other things.
Mm. No, I totally agree.
It's good.
That's the beauty of Belgians, and I miss them dearly because they're not quite in style anymore. It's hard to find a good one, and they ain't never cheap.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
That's a double negative.
Word. Yeah.
Word.
I'm a dumbass. So, okay. So we've had our first yummy, delicious beer. I might have this for the rest of the day. This is wonderful. No, we have to move on to the next one.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Ski School. Had anyone seen Ski School before I forced this upon your eyeballs?
Yes, I did.
Had you? Did you really?
I did, yes. I watched it actually. It was the early 90s. So I was in my teens. And I was at that age where I wasn't... I had enough weird hormones and testosterone pumping through my body to... basically cripple a middle-aged man. And so, of course, like, and in the early 90s, we didn't have as much internet. So there's like not any. A whole lot of access to skin stuff, like nudie stuff.
Right. Right.
Except on those weird channels on cable where you could...
Yeah, where you try to pause it between the fuzz.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you're sitting like... Dude, I think I was a nipple. Oh, was that a nipple? You know what? I'll work with it. I got it.
Watching Rhonda on USA up all night in her negligee.
Yes. And honestly, at that age, it doesn't take much. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but it was Pete and Troy who were laughing the hardest at that. I'll work with it. Because, like, at that age, like, if there's two rocks that look like boobs, that's enough. I'll remember that. And I remember very distinctly my friend who lived down the street, he had it on VHS, and every time we after school, we just watched Ski School. We're hanging out. Yo, yeah.
That's great.
There's probably one scene in particular where the VHS tape was really thin.
Yes, it was worn down
stacked
a lot.
Babe.
There's quite a few of those.
Oh, yeah. That
went on for a while.
It did.
Yeah.
And that was some quality...
Softcore.
Yeah. I remember...
Was it softcore or was it just a sex romp? It wasn't really softcore.
Sex romp.
I mean, there was...
softcore. It was Skinamaxy.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There were two people laying on top of one another with no clothes on.
Yes. Having adult hugs.
Mm-hmm. Adult hugs. Yeah.
That's the reason I got a sitter for my kid tonight.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Don't want her wandering down here.
So this is, I would imagine, Kathleen, you've never, ever desired to see something like this. Or this was not your thing.
I have not seen this movie before. I have seen other versions of this movie before.
Oh.
Yes, I mean, this is
such a...
Porky's.
Animal House.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Stripes.
Yes. Yeah, to a degree, yeah. Sure.
Police Academy. Anything where it's like the spunky partying misfits.
Don't say spunk.
The jizzing partying.
What's that word that Shannon hates?
Crust?
Smegma.
Yeah.
Oh.
The smegma partying sort of misfits.
So it's that kind of podcast tonight, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Yeah, actually... Most of the movies that you just said, I haven't seen.
What is wrong with you? Oh, you have boobs. Okay. You have boobs.
I don't.
You don't need to see them.
I don't need to watch these films. I don't get it. It's
of
not
course
my,
you
it's
don't.
It's not, you know.
Well, I don't know that.
I won't. I have been known to not understand the obsession with boobs and to blatantly say, they're bags of fat. Like, what is the big deal? Like,
they're
I don't get it.
They're my favorite bags of fat.
Yes.
I usually get scolded for calling them bags of fat. In big trouble, but.
You know, you're not going to make people hate boobs by calling them bags of fat. You're just going to make people love bags of fat.
Yeah. That's seriously. Fine. You know what? I mean, really? I don't care. I don't know. I did say to Troy when the movie was over, he was like, he said, I want you to be prepared for the amount of boobs we're going to be talking about at the recording. And I was like, that's fine. I said, I will say, nice, wide variety of nipple. I was impressed.
Yeah.
So there were a fair amount of... enhanced boobage.
Well, yes, and
but
we
there
can talk
was
about her. I'd like to talk about her
natural boobage in this
yes.
movie.
And
more, with
more natural
boobage, you get natural nipple. So I have to give it credit
not one
for
up
that.
Here and one over there.
Well, or like, you know.
Are we with boobs like pug's eyes? Just like kind of looking in two different directions? Which I think all boobs are, I guess. I don't know. I just wanted to say boobs like pug's eyes. I mean, I had no real excuse. It's okay.
Pug right. boobs, right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not the connoisseur that you all are.
No.
Are
we don't expect you to be.
Most fake ones not having nipples going
bad,
the right
bad
way.
Bad fake ones, but we can get by that.
Right.
But I don't think.
We can have a whole conversation about just boobs. But
right. Especially in the 80s, the boob technology had not quite advanced to the point.
Right.
Where they had...
That is true. I mean, they were still putting in bags of poison.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The silicone.
That's
so,
super fun.
Yes.
But the... oh, excuse me. Let me try that again.
Try it again.
This seems to have been, like, at the tail end of, like, throughout the 80s and the
70s. You're right, Dave. I had that written down.
Mm-hmm. Of a lot of, like, these types of movie where, like, it's the rowdy bunch of pranksters... are faced up against this a bunch of stiff, arrogant squares with the institution behind them.
Yes.
And like, oh, damn you and your wily hijinks.
Yes.
And like, we're just free spirits having fun.
Right.
And like, they just go destroy something wantonly.
It was definitely, I mean, this movie definitely reminded me in that format more of
Animal House.
Yeah.
Than...
I don't know if Animal House set the tone for a film like this, but... Yes.
Well, it's definitely off.
It's at the standard.
Yeah.
For humor, it certainly.
I mean, if that path was already laid before Animal House definitely opened it up. Like,
right.
And I mean, to some degree, the Marx Brothers started this. You got the goofy guys against the square society.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
That's very true.
That's true.
That's very true.
Duck soup.
So you can go all the way back.
Oh, yeah.
Do some duck soup.
I mean, the Marx Brothers were basically just like each one was them, the goofy guys going against. Society and like so the bigger the society, so Duck Soup is like pinnacle because like it's a goofy country versus a square country
that is like there's a Screwball that was like one of the best Screwball comedies ever.
Yeah, it's
the
awesome.
Zany wackiness, and I've actually I saw that for the first time as an adult. I'm like, I get it.
Oh,
I get it. I probably would have laughed at it harder as a kid, but like I got it. I understood.
But they're genius. I love the Marx Brothers.
We have a whole box set of their stuff at home.
Jeez. You're a lot more committed than I am.
Oh, no, I would buy that too. I'm coming over.
But
so boobs.
But yes, but like they just
We got off.
Oh, by the way,
she tried so hard to get
off. How did we get off that topic? That's amazing.
I did. Dave changed the subject.
I did change.
I tried to
steer toward the movie.
It's about your connoisseurs of fake boobs. And Dave was like, yeah, let's talk about the actual movie.
Yeah. And just, okay, just so we know, like, there are boobs in the movie.
Lots
so
we can, of them.
I'm just trying to steer us toward the movie boobs.
If I wrote it down right, within the first minute of the film, there was a pair of lovely breasts.
That's what I said. It starts off with keyboards, drum machines, boobs, and black lights. It's, everything you want from a screwball comedy.
It was marvelous. It's like, hey, look at that.
Okay, I'm sorry for a second here. Animal House, does everybody here seen it except for Kathleen?
No, I've seen that one.
That one you've seen? Okay, does everybody here like Animal House?
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
Absolutely.
Kathleen?
Yeah. Okay, I'm not going to be like, woohoo, let's watch it again for the thousandth time. But
Animal House was a romp, but there was only one pair of boobs in it?
Yeah.
There was not a lot of nudity in it. There was a lot of drinking in it.
Right. Yes. There's a lot of destroying your own body kind of stuff.
Indeed.
And the movie Animal House tops all kinds of lists of top best comedies in the United States, like ever, or whatever. Like top five, or the first, like it's... It just tops
five,
a lot of...
Yeah, it's way up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate Animal House.
No, really?
I
don't get
it. Yeah, and I am definitely in the minority. Like, because I remember seeing it as a kid and thinking, like, this is... just kind of a bunch of douchebags being really destructive.
Yeah.
And then I watched it as an adult and I really hated it because I'm like, so the irresponsible assholes win for being irresponsible assholes, and anybody who tried to actually get an education lost. Like, fuck this. This is stupid.
And then they win in life while as Lutosky gets a senator.
He becomes a senator and you're like, yeah.
You're old. Come on. If it's too loud,
but
you're old. And
I mean, that's exactly this movie too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, know? And I'm trying.
Now,
to
not that anyone's trying to get an education, even though the word "school" is in the title. Movie, you know, it's still the irresponsible, goofy, free spirit win over the, you know, like rigid.
Squares,
it has to be, you know, squares, whatever. Though I did like that. Dave went to Reed at the end and offered him a beer. Like, if you can chill the fuck out, you can hang out with us still, which would not have happened in the opposite way.
Yeah.
Indeed. Right, yes.
You
so he sort of extended the olive branch.
The
reconciliatory.
It's the nose honk of
because
the
Dave Marshak doesn't care. If you want a party, let's go.
Right.
That's
right.
All he wants to do. He wants to have a good time.
And then he kissed him right in the mouth.
That's always fun.
But he also enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You did that to me in my wedding, didn't you?
No, I did it to you at my wedding.
At your wedding. Yeah. That's right. Yes.
It didn't suck.
That wasn't it. Donna's not my wife. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
When did you stop shaving, honey? I love you, Jody. No, but like I usually hate that kind of stuff. Like I hate that we're like the irresponsible douchebags. Like drink, brr, and then like go destroy something and hurt people and basically cause destruction and chaos in this institution that they decided to go to, and then they all end up being right and winning or whatever. Like they all end up on top for being like, hey, look, we were completely just douchebags and
we're amoral assholes.
Yeah,
peeping toms.
Yeah, we're peeping toms.
Revenge of the Nerds is another great example of that.
Drug and alcohol abuse and rape. In the case of
Revenge of the Nerds.
Nerds,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, that's
you don't have to see that one. Although you kind of
you're that nerd. Yeah. You were wonderful.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking back at that, that made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Seeing it as a teenager, I went, "Hey, woohoo!" Now as an adult, I'm like, "Oh."
There's nothing justifiable about
there
that.
I kind of had those moments several times in this with the whole, like, they're clearly very uncomfortable with homosexuality in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a little bit like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, like, why couldn't the video that they made, which... they did in record time with some amazing non-existent technology to be able to do that. Shouldn't it be embarrassing enough to cut the video in of Derek and or Eric telling that girl the weird, sexy things they were saying? Because they weren't real attractively sexy thing. So
I can't wait
saying
for
it
that
to another girl, you know, saying it to the gender in which you are allowed to be attracted to under the format of this movie would be just as embarrassing to read cut into the middle of his film. So why they had to, I don't know.
It was 1990.
I was just kind of like, oh, 30 years this is ago? Annoying.
Almost.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
26 years, 8 years ago?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to defend the movie as far as like it's implied homophobia.
Especially
homophobia.
This far.
Right.
As I would hope we are more advanced since then.
But I think it does... it's worth mentioning that they did it to the homophobes. And like the Section 1 group was obviously homophobic. Like when they toss out, when the party was like sort of amped up by this character, Ed, and then they throw Ed out in response and like, and they called him a fag or whatever.
Right.
They did, yeah.
And so like, it's one of the bad guys that says it.
Totally. So, which I agree with, but there's no real evidence that the party guys are okay with homosexuality.
Yeah.
Because they definitely are okay with making a humiliating joke about it.
Right.
To be honest, it's 1990. And I hate to say it, but like, nobody was cool with it back then.
No, I know.
Kind of, yeah.
I made that joke, you know.
It's hard to deny it.
That joke.
Yeah.
I would call people fag when I was in 1990 because I was stupid.
In high school or...
The thing is, it never meant gay.
Outside of college by 1990, Troy?
I was in college, thank you.
Weren't you...
Actually, that was the year I graduated from college. From high school. High school. God damn it.
I'm older than quite that. You weren't 20 years into a...
my bachelor's degree?
I've had something to drink. Anyway, let's go.
Yeah.
Well, and then we also had like the guy that was... like watching the girls undress through their window, and then they would look around and like, oh, teehee, you caught me. You know, there was a lot of like stuff that now just looks wrong. And like, God, it sucks that we're advanced. Cause like,
I'm kind of pissed off at everybody right now because I look back on this film with great fondness.
I do too.
Because
I do too.
As you, Dave, I received this tape and I posted it on the Good Beer Bad Movie Night website as I was starting the VCR. And
yeah.
I cannot believe it still works.
One of our buddies, Christopher Page, said, "What on earth have you unearthed that you needed a VCR to watch this, or for which to watch?" So I told him he had to wait till he listened to this episode, and that's what I watched.
Right, well,
I had a VCR with Hot Dog the movie, which was a 1981 or 82 film. It's the same goddamn movie as 1990s Ski School, and I'm not even kidding. It had
boobs?
A snowball fight. It had lots of boobs. It had the kid from Indiana coming to the mountain that nobody knew. Nobody knew who he was, and he tore everything up. But in 19...
Ski School knew that they needed to pick a state that actually had a chance of having a mountain.
Well, Montana's got a couple of very good ones, for sure.
Right, I'm saying versus Indiana.
And Indiana's got a couple
flat
of...
wasteland.
Maybe one or...
with apologies
maybe
to Indiana.
One that's near Cincinnati. Anyway.
Right.
But the funny thing about Hot Dog was was it Germans or was it Russians? Oh God, now I forget.
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Anyway, the bad guys were foreigners. Were Germans or Russians? I forget. And they were Section 1.
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
They were the Cobra Kai, exactly. So terrible accents and everything. Hilarious. But even down to the snowball fight, these movies are in sync a decade apart or so.
As long as there's boobs.
So I guess my question then about Hot Dog would be, does it have some kind of actual discernible storyline that you can follow? Because really, that is my biggest complaint about this movie, is 3/4 of the way into the movie, I'm still like, what's that guy's name? Who's this guy? Like,
oh, there was no introducing character.
They didn't introduce
that's
any character.
Which
we literally, the girl that's like the main love interest through the whole movie, blonde girl. What the fuck's her name?
Is it Jen?
Mm.
I actually think I...
Is it Cindy?
Shit.
I tried to write it down. There's Paulette, which is the brunette.
Paulette's the brunette, yeah.
Right,
I remember her
right.
Yeah,
the brunette.
But the blonde girl, I never got her name.
And Victoria is the Playboy playmate with the super stack.
Yeah, the long brunette with the boobs. Yeah.
Super
the
long
her name
sexy.
Is Victoria?
Victoria.
Yes, I did catch her name at one point, finally.
Ava
yeah, there's no introducing
Fabian.
Characters. Even Dave. Like, at the beginning, they were doing the voiceover. I had to listen to it the second time so I could write up my six-minute synopsis before I caught, oh, that's where they introduced Dave. Before we've even seen him on screen, they, like, Dave...
Helena.
Blah, 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 blah. Beat Reed last...
Is it Helena? No, I got that wrong.
Huh? Oh, the blonde?
No, I'm still looking for it.
Yeah, well...
Lori.
What?
I have Lori written down somewhere.
No way.
And then in parentheses I wrote blonde, because I've written blonde 1,000 other times.
My God. Maybe.
So,
yeah.
Lori. Lori's mad at Johnny.
That's embarrassing.
And doesn't understand why.
That's an embarrassing thing to do. Yeah. And you're right. The characters were not introduced well. Here's Dave Marshak. And this is...
Yeah. But, well, like the guy who was supposedly... that they did
the
subliminal messages to convince him not to have sex anymore.
Ed.
See, never caught that.
Ed was... That was... Okay.
He actually said... I'm Ed.
Yeah, there's a point
his introduction
where,
was I'm Ed.
There was a point where when Fritz sits up in the beer cans, he's like, oh my God, you're our recruits. And he's like, ah, screams. And he goes, who are you people? And Ed sits up and he goes, I'm Ed. That was the introduction.
Oh, yeah, so, I must have blinked.
But
that
like,
one.
It's one of those things. It's like, what is going on right now? And oh, apparently that's Ed, but like, you're going to not keep that.
Right. Well, it took forever to get Fitz's name.
Yeah.
And
that happened early, but it's still,
yeah,
it was not. This is Fitz. This is Dave. This is.
Right. I think there was
Dave was the only one. Dave and Johnny were the only two that were
right. Well, and I think
and Reed
that it would have been helpful Reed. If the Cobra Kai's when speaking to each other had used their names, or the flunkies when they're speaking to each other used their names. Like you, as the viewer, got a single shout out, but then they barely when they would talk to each other would say, you know,
hey Ed, what do you think about this?
Right.
Yeah, there's one point where in my notes I wrote, oh, hey, Johnny's going to bed with that blonde nameless girl that helped with the joke. Thank goodness. I was hoping for those crazy kids. It's because, like, you don't know who these people are. You don't care. I mean, like, it's an attractive girl getting semi-naked, so yay, I guess. But
admittedly, when I was when I first saw this back in the early 90s, all I was really thinking is, like, okay, whose boobs do I get to see?
Totally.
Yeah.
And, like, okay, I'm going to see her boobs.
It's only
like,
a real reason to watch this film.
Yeah.
Yes.
Although I will, you might have to, the skiers might have to back me up on this. It is kind of skiing porn too, because some of the stuff they do is really difficult.
The big flips were kind
of
cool.
All right. So the skiers were part of the USA ski team.
Ah, nice.
They are more than legit. They are the professionals of skiing. So all that, these folks did the Warren Miller films. If no one's familiar with Warren Miller.
Warren Miller,
one of the greatest ski photographers, extreme ski photographers of all time. He made films that would blow your fucking mind. It's amazing the scenery he got, the athletes,
the action, he was the angles, able to, all that stuff.
Oh, it's astounding. And there's some stuff on YouTube. It's not the original Warren Miller because there's some weird stuff going about. With the
copyright,
The Warren Miller's the name is now different from the Warren Miller the person, and there's some weird things going on.
But the skiing in the movie,
if it says Warren Miller, it's probably going to be unbelievable scenery. It's going to be Ansel Adams skiing, what it's going. And I'm not even kidding about that. It's going to be astounding. But these skiers, the U.S. ski team, typically does the vast majority of Warren Miller footage. So these guys are doing some super crazy stuff elsewhere. This, what they did in this film was very easy for them. Very, very easy.
Okay, because it looked really difficult to me.
It is. It is difficult. As a skier, I've skied since I was like 8 years old.
You're right.
That stuff is not easy. But for them, I'm saying it's easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Usain Bolt running 100 meters in 12 seconds is easy.
Right.
None of us is doing it.
No.
Like, I want to throw up just thinking about running that fast.
I want to say something about Ed real quick. So, Ed was one of the many names that was difficult to figure out. And I've seen this film a number of times, as Dave did as a kid.
Yes, well, specific parts of it.
I got this film and a Warren Miller film and a Hot Dog, as I said, on a bootleg from a friend.
And this is a VHS cassette.
A VHS cassette. So
VHS. It might as well have just been a like a wax cylinder or something.
I've only seen this movie on that very VHS tape. So in all the times that I've seen it, the one joke that I missed, and I guarantee everybody else missed it too, after Ed gets hypnotized and
wait, I know it. I'm going to write it down.
Yeah, you write it down. I'm going to write it down. Do it. Ed is hypnotizing and not having sex with women. Apparently, Ed is a connoisseur of women. He is a womanizer. He is able, and you kind of look at him.
I don't know that he's a womanizer because it feels like the women are throwing themselves at
him.
They
are. Yeah. They absolutely are. So, the women are literally throwing themselves. And you kind of look at him
and
going,
like having to explain. No, I just don't. Yeah.
But in the back of your head, don't you kind of wonder why?
Yeah.
Like why are women new equipment? Why are women throwing themselves at Ed? And Ed had one little off comment. It's like, oh well, you know, why do you think they call me Mr. Ed? Yes.
Yep, that's what I wrote down.
I mean, I guess I did hear him say that, but
they called me Mr. Ed for a reason.
That's what it was. Yep. That's exactly the quote as what, and I about shit my pants because I had never heard that. Well, okay, it's a VCR tape, man.
Yeah. Well, how do you see that from across the room? I mean,
I think his reputation precedes.
Yeah. I think there's a lot.
It's a small
of
island. There's only
right.
There's only it's a small
it's a small mountain.
There's only so many women.
I mean, they're skiing with bikinis. That was another thing I didn't understand.
Oh yeah,
people at the parties and then naked. Like I was like, okay, I know that we're supposed to be naked because this is a boobsploitation film, but
that's a sexploitation. Boobsploitation is a much better word to describe this film.
But at the same time, I just kept going, aren't you cold? Like skip the ornament. Aren't you cold?
No, I have the power of misogyny to keep me warm.
Yeah, well, Jesus. They should have been sweating to death.
I had something about that written down. Oh, like I said, I saw this movie as a kid and I loved it for various reasons.
Mostly boobs.
The boobs. It was mostly the boobs.
Mostly boobs.
But also, like, as much of a shit show this movie is, and I fully admit that this is not a good movie, the banter between the Ed character and the Fitz character and a lot of the other, there's real chemistry, and it's actually really funny.
Wait, Ed and Fitz?
No,
Ed, or
I'm
Dave?
Sorry, Dave and
Dave,
Fitz.
Dave and Fitz.
Yeah, like really? I thought that they actually were really funny.
I felt like Dave and Fitz were high school best friends with 1,000 inside jokes that nobody else around them gets at all.
And that's what
they
said.
So they. Right, but that's not fun to watch. It's not fun to be the third person in a scenario where you have two people that are like, okay, all right, and then they move on. You're like, what the fuck just happened? So
there's a lot of moments. Here's a typical moment from this movie. Reed is like yelling at Dave because he's
Reed the bad guy.
Reed's the bad guy. Reed is the Cobra Kai leader.
Johnny,
and he's Johnny, sweep the leg, Johnny.
Don't. Yeah. There's two Johnnies here. We shouldn't confuse
Johnny
them.
A good guy in this movie.
Yeah, sorry.
So Dave is talking to Reed, and Reed does like one of those bad guy things, like, "Well, you're a dick," and then Dave goes, "Helicopter," and Reed looks around like, "What helicopter?" And goes, "No, helicopter," and then he like waves his arm above his head and he does a little spin, and then the whole crowd goes, "Woo!" And they do the same thing, and it's like, okay, who's doing that? Nobody's gonna do that. That's not funny. That's not clever.
I do that.
Pete does it.
Yeah, I do that.
Pete would do it.
I'm gonna do it right now.
Helicopter?
Maybe.
And he's doing it. You do that, actually.
Except
that
here's
even
the
do that.
Thing: is that's in context. That's why we all just like chuckled a little bit about it. In the movie, it was random and stupid.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like, look at how zany we are.
Yes,
really
right.
There's a lot of that. Yeah,
there's a lot of zaniness.
Cannot be forced. If you're forcing zany, it's not zany.
If you look at Dave's face when he's doing the zany, he's not enjoying it, he's like, oh God, now I gotta do this. Right. Turn around and
he's
do
literally going, oh my God, I hope this movie pays my rent.
Like, well, I think Dave is deadpan the whole time because he's told these jokes a bajillion times.
Yeah, well,
I've told this joke a million times, so I just need to tell it again because people think it's cute. Yeah. So, and I'm gonna get your pants off.
So I don't know.
Maybe.
He does get stacked girl.
At the very end, but yes. Johnny got stacked girl much earlier.
Yes. On film.
And stacked girl was a Playboy playmate.
Ah.
Her name was Ava Fabian.
Ooh.
And she was the August 1986 Playboy Playmate of the Month.
She was not unattractive.
No. She was
walked
not
the mountain, so she was rich too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. She likes to buy money. Things.
I did like
that's
the fact
right.
That,
she did say huh? that.
She what?
That was like her
I
hobby.
Like to buy things.
She
like
liked to spend money.
So what do you do?
Things.
I like to buy things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And but okay. So wait. So Johnny sleeps with Lori.
Lori.
And Johnny sleeps with Lori.
Blonde. Yes.
And she's like no strings attached because they share a moment when they correct. Try to they trick those two guys into looking like they're gonna have sex, and then they sleep together. And she's like, shh, no strings, it's okay, or right. whatever it is. And yeah. then so she
because she's horny too. She
right,
wants,
yeah,
she
I
wants
mean,
it, no strings attached.
Right.
right.
So I mean, her call, whatever. And then he sleeps with the playmate with the boobs.
Boobs.
And I guess she did have a problem with that.
Broads. What are you gonna do?
And then,
right?
And then she handled
bitches,
it in the
man.
Worst
bitches.
Way. Yes. Bitches be crazy. Bitches be crazy.
Bitches be cray cray.
And I was like, what?
You said no strings attached, so boom.
Yeah. So
I'm spreading it.
Ew.
That could mean a couple things, and none of them are great.
I think you should edit that out.
I don't know. We'll see.
That's the reason they call him Mr. Edit It Out.
Now you have to keep
now
it.
Now I have to keep it.
Way to go, Troy.
No strings. I'm spreading the old.
Lord.
Oh, see, yeah, that was the joke.
Yeah.
I liked that. Like, okay, there was a moment where, like, after Ed gets kicked out of the party. And it's Fitz and Dave are like, you know what this means, right? Payback. Yes, I think so. And they go to, they say it simultaneously, and they go to do a high five, and they both stop, put their hands down, and point at each other. Like, that just, it's, it
okay,
feels like.
That, okay.
Right.
But
no!
It's when,
that's secret handshake.
That's not, that's like one of those things that's like, that's so lazy. There's nothing going, like.
That's not, let's actually,
no,
I thought that
they
was
like,
clever.
They like
that
said
was,
it together, and then they like did, and it's like, that's not a joke. That's just.
A secret handshake. No, that wasn't meant to make
joke,
you laugh.
But it's like a, like that kind of, I will agree that in that moment, yes, I understand what you're saying, where these two characters clearly have rapport.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of it that is still mildly entertaining to the audience, and it gets the message across. These guys are longtime BFFs.
Yeah, they know each
like,
other.
Whatever. That, right. Okay. But so many of the, like, we look at each other across the room and, oh, we instantly know what's going on, or we instantly know what we're going to do, or any of that kind of stuff. It doesn't work when you have a movie that doesn't have enough plot to support the eye looking at each other like, ooh, 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 oh, this is what's going to happen. If the audience can't guess what's going to happen in those moments, then it's because there's not enough story to back that up to begin with.
Right.
You can't have that. And right. that's where that is annoying to have to watch.
Well, that's why that moment is annoying to me, because I'm like, that's so much easier to do than actually making that moment funny. It's like, try make it funny.
Well, yeah.
Than, like,
I don't
see,
know if it was
I think
a joke. I don't know if it was a punchline.
It's different.
It's a little different, but by the same token, I wanted jokes in
right.
a comedy.
Yes.
And not.
Yes.
But I will. Well, we'll get there.
But yeah, well,
we need to get there soon.
Yeah, because I was gonna say, because like overall, what did you write to me earlier today, Dave? You're like, this movie reminds me of so many.
Oh, I remember this movie. I think I said something to the effect of like, this movie brought back a lot of wonderful memories, or something like that. God, I wish I could remember.
Because he wrote.
If only there was a way for me to look up what I said. Oh yeah, what I said was Ski School brought back a lot of fun memories. It is also terrible.
Yes, exactly. That totally sums it up. Because, like,
yeah.
this movie is every 1980s movie that I loved. in the 1980s.
It's going to hurt my feelings saying this. I feel the same way about the Goonies.
Yeah,
I love the Goonies.
This.
The Goonies is not a good movie.
Mm.
I'm very sorry. I love it. I love it with all my heart. But it's not a great movie.
Mm.
I disagree.
Get out.
Yeah.
Now.
I disagree.
I realize how unpopular that's going to sound. But ultimately, it's just kind of a dippy movie.
So who was the actor that you recognized?
Dave Marshak.
Okay. Because I recognized him, too. I made Troy pause it. And
oh, played by Dean
look
Cameron.
Him up.
Dean Cameron, yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I couldn't, I recognize him from Summer School.
That's where Dave Marshak and Ed, Mr. Ed,
yeah, they
were
both in Summer
both
School.
In okay. Summer School.
Yeah. Which
and
is the
I
Mark
love
Harmon movie.
Dear, yes, Mark Harmon. I dearly love, and Christy Alley.
No.
Probably.
No,
Cheers. What the fuck's her name?
Yeah,
that's Christy
Alley.
Christy Alley.
Yeah.
Is that not Christy Alley?
Oh, no, I was thinking of somebody else. The Courtney Thorne Smith. Sorry.
Oh, the blonde?
Yeah. Wow, I pulled that name out of my ass.
You did. That's insane.
Is she
insane.
In that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And anyway, yeah, the
blonde,
the Mark
the
Harmon
boobs
film.
And the, I'm still on boobs.
He was, was he Chainsaw in that one, or?
I don't know. It's
anyway,
been a long time
he and Ed were both in Summer School, and I dearly love Summer School. It's a great kid flick, sort of. It's a Breakfast Club sort of thing,
where they literally
are going to summer school, and all the kids have problems and make deals with teachers, and it's weird.
He was Chainsaw. That's right, the horror flick kid.
They did the horror stuff. Yeah, it was a hoot.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, it was. I didn't remember his
Not
name,
to be
but I remember Courtney
confused with One Crazy Summer with Bobcat Goldthwait. And
now. I love that.
That's
movie.
A great film. Anyway, let's
go back to this turd.
Right.
We can talk about other movies.
Let's go back to this turd. Yeah, right. You're absolutely right. But yeah, Dave Marsh, he's been in he was in a vampire movie too, and I wrote it down and then didn't forgot it. Not
yeah. I mean, we looked it up and Troy ran through like his kind of IMDb, and Summer School was the one that I was like, yes, that is where I've seen him. And he's done a bunch of other ski school kind of movies. Maybe not necessarily boob romps, but like...
He was asked to come back for Ski School number 2.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what year that was.
94.
Because
I looked it up when I was
away.
Looking up.
Okay.
Trying to find a picture to put on Instagram.
Apparently it didn't do very well because, you know, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Wow,
well, I mean,
you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
That's why I think it might have been like the tail end of that sort of...
It was. It really... You're right, Dave.
Of like the Animal House style romps. Mm-hmm. Because Ski School 2, I mean, it was a winning film for like a decade. Or longer than a decade. Where it's like we put boobs and alcohol abuse or drug abuse and a bunch of merry prankster style. Yeah.
Well,
not even losers. They're like just party... Like irresponsible partiers versus like the arrogant sort of square...
You could start as far back as American Graffiti, and then move or Duck Soup. Animal House, American Graffiti. That they were pretty close, to each other. And then you move on to Porky's, the Porky's films.
Yeah,
okay.
Revenge of the Nerds, which was a brilliant move from high school sex. To
college sex.
Consensual adult sex.
Mostly.
Sort of. Yeah.
What's the summer camp movie?
Meatballs.
Yeah, Meatballs.
Meatballs. That was borderline.
Yeah.
Bill Murray.
Yeah.
It was borderline.
Yeah.
And then you had Hot Dog the Ski. And there were a number of them.
Right.
And then they stopped right around 1990 because people went, oh, this children having sex. Ugh. Even though Ski School was definitely adults
definitely
having sex.
Right.
And then picked it back up with American Pie.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or what's the wet hot American summer?
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Which was totally
that is
dumb.
Actually a satire of these.
It's,
movies.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I was
it
just
is.
Gonna say.
It is, and it fell flat on as I watched it. It was like this. I don't like any of this.
Yeah.
None of it made sense to me.
The first one when I watched it, I was like, I didn't understand when I first turned it on that it was supposed to be a satire until about halfway through. And I was like, because I kept going, why the fuck is David Hyde Pierce in this movie? Like, what the hell? Like, who has what kind of dirt on him to be in this movie? And then it's like
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, yeah.
But when it came out, you could see Paul Rudd doing that movie. Yeah. Yeah. Like, David Hyde Pierce, it's like, come on.
Niles Crane.
It's like, oh,
you got that Niles money, dude.
Someone is blackmailing this guy, you know, in this movie. But then when I process it through, and I was like, or it's a fucking satire of all those dirty porn movies from the 80s. Like, okay, I get it now. But like, the sequel really did nothing.
Did you watch
the sequel?
The Netflix one, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the series. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Netflix series.
Yeah.
But that was crazy because they're all ancient.
Right.
Playing
all the same characters.
Teenagers.
That was that's part of the joke.
Yeah.
It is part of the joke, but
it's not really.
It did not land.
At the beginning of the film, it wasn't. This is a joke. It wasn't clear.
Right. They were trying to sort of Christopher Guest. The concept, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, you know how Christopher Guest movies, if you don't get it, you're like, what is wrong with this movie? Like, if you don't understand what a Christopher Guest movie is, and you go into it totally, like, straight and thinking that it's a real movie.
Yeah. So you try to take it at face value, yeah.
Yeah, then you're completely shows. Like... Yeah. Right, exactly.
I like Guffman's.
I should right.
That one, but like some of the other ones, it's a little bit like, you know, what's the
A Mighty Wind.
Yes, I was gonna say the hippie music one. I was like,
the folk songs, the folk singers.
So
Best in Show, Mighty Wind,
yeah,
right.
Spinal Tap. Well, Spinal Tap was directed by Carl Reiner, but
same.
Rob Reiner, sorry, not Carl Reiner.
Not Carl Reiner.
Oh, or wait, was it?
No, it was the other way around.
No, it's Rob Reiner.
I'm cutting this out. I don't know.
I can't remember if he actually directed it also. Yes, beer. Who needs beer?
I was just going to say, guys, we're doing good on time, but I need a beer desperately.
Yeah.
And especially, I know what beer's in there.
That's really why we're
here. I can't wait to find out.
Helicopter.
Well, I'm going to helicopter out to the lobby for another orange whip. You ready?
Yep.
Orange whip.
Orange whip.
Orange whip.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Hit it.
All right.
I'm so excited. This is so good. This is one of my favorites.
What is it we're drinking now?
This is the number two beer on the 15 top beers of Ohio list. The Columbus Brewing Company's Bodie. I was really curious to try this again. I got this at the Columbus Brewing Company for the first time. And had it straight off the tap and was fucking blown away. I loved it. Now I love it.
When was that, Troy?
When was it?
When did you?
Oof.
You had it at CBC? I thought it was when we got the growler of it from Daily Growler.
I want to say the first time was at CBC.
Okay.
Several years ago. I'm not going to be able to tell you. But it was good. And I loved it. And then the second time I got a bottle... I didn't think it was as good. So I'm curious to see if they've... Was it me?
What is going on over there?
What?
He
put his keys down.
He put his thing down.
Was it me? Did I not like it in a bottle? Did I have beans that day? So that does not go well with Bodie. I don't know. So I really want to try it again. Because the first time I ever had this, I was in love. So...
All right. Well, maybe if beans don't go with it, maybe Keanu Reeves and Catching Huge Waves do.
Oh, my God. Stop that shit.
When I opened the fridge to pull these out and get this, I was like, Troy totally picked these beers because one of them is like hippy-dippy sticker on the front so it looks like a big party guy and these are like party guys. And then the other one is because the name Bodie is totally a dude.
Well, is the name Bodie not the name of Patrick Swayze's character from Point Break?
Oh, 100% it is.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
I
knew what you were saying.
Bodie and Johnny Utah, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Johnny Utah.
From Columbus, Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, my
God.
He's
a quarterback for Ohio State.
That's right.
Okay.
Do you know that every time Keanu Reeves plays a character that in his past he's a football player, he's played for Ohio State?
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because apparently Keanu Reeves is a big Ohio State fan. So
really?
I guess anytime there are several different movies where even if it's just a nothing kind of throwaway line where it gets mentioned, anything that either he's been in college or he played football, they bring up Ohio State.
I had no idea.
Yeah. I need to fact check on this.
Yeah. Well, what are the movies besides?
I read it on the internet. So it must be
gotta
true.
Be true. It was on an Ohio State message board.
Right. No, it
probably
was not.
Yes, okay. Kathleen's on all of those.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Woo, sports ball.
So score the points.
This is a double. This is a double India Pale Ale, 8.3 alcohol.
Yikes.
8.3.
So this is
another
not,
one to respect.
This is, yeah, exactly. This is not a
well, this is definitely a like a hot beer. Shotgun blast to the head.
It is.
Yeah, it is a makeup gun full of hops.
A Simpsons reference, nice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. it is hot.
Sent a whore.
Even though this is at 8.3 ABV, which is a lower ABV
than the fat head.
Yeah. At 9.5, I find this extremely hot on my tongue.
Yeah, it is.
I take a sip of this and I go, that is hot.
And this is, yeah, I'm enjoying it though. I'm sorry, I forget that.
I'm enjoying it. I'm a little bit of a hophead myself, so like I like the hoppy beers. I'm trying to determine whether or not I can drink a lot of this, and I feel like I can go through two.
There's a reason these are sold in four packs.
Mm. Yeah.
Though the fathead was also sold in four packs
at 9.5,
and I could
damn right
I could drink all four of those.
You
pretty
should
quick.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you should. You would be real ugly
if you pick up a four pack. There's a reason for it.
Yeah,
be aware.
Yeah, I actually learned that firsthand. Not I myself, but a friend of mine who I will not name.
Was it
nobody in this room.
Oh, okay.
But once upon a time, he bought a four-pack of Blackout Stout by Great Lakes.
Okay, yeah.
And Blackout Stout is not named because you blackout drinking it, but it should be. It's appropriately named, yeah. Let's just say that.
There's a double reason for naming it Blackout Stout, yeah.
It's beautifully named, let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not respect the beer as much as he should have, and he ended up seeing the beer again.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Oh, always unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But yeah, after that,
Blackout Stout number 11 on the 15 best beer.
It's not bad. It's a good and
I like Blackout Stout.
Look, if you don't mind, and this is terrible radio. Look up Edmund Fitzgerald.
it's not on the 15 top 15.
Really?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
We're talking about Edmund Fitzgerald, the beer by Great Lakes Brewing Company, not
not the ghost ship, no.
Or the song by Gordon Lightfoot.
Right.
So this is a giant hop.
It is
explosion in my
80
mouth.
80 IBUs, and IBUs are international bittering units. We've talked briefly about it in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and it's merely a scale to measure how hoppy something is.
In the mouth, it tastes really good. The initial, right after you swallow, it tastes brilliant. That first, and then it gets more bitter as it sits on your tongue.
Yeah.
The more oxygen that hits your tongue after your sip, it does increase that intensity.
A lot of aftertaste. It is a delicious beer, though. If you like hops. If you don't, don't buy Bodie from Columbus Brewing Company.
Right.
See, and that's where I'm a little bit going to
disagree
because I don't generally love a hop-heavy beer, but there's something about the rest of the way this beer is blended that you don't have that. Because the thing that I don't like about hops is the feeling you get of like I'm chewing on a dry plant.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like mouthful of ferns.
Yeah.
Grass.
Right. Yeah. You take a drink of it and then the taste that you're left with is this like plant in your mouth. And that's what I don't like about it. But I don't feel that way with this one. Like, I don't know if it's just the way it's blended or if it's the other things in it. They're being lunatics taking pictures right now. It's like, I'm trying to talk to wax.
I'm listening. I know, really.
Everyone,
it's a matter of...
So you said something about boobs. Oh, wait. I went back too far.
As long as the areola is attractive, that's all that matters.
Both of them?
I hear you. But Kathleen, I will tell you why you enjoy this beer. Because what you're saying is you don't like the intense hop beers, right? IPAs in general, double IPAs, whatever.
Right.
That is offensive to you as it is to my wife.
Yes.
It's not something you don't want to taste soap or...
Yes.
Whatever it is.
Yes. Is it a soapy? Is it
there
soap?
There is a soap flavor to when, a lot
some
of
some people taste dish soap when instead of hops. When they taste hops,
is
they
that
get,
related to the cilantro
lemon,
thing?
No, they get lemon. They get like lemon joy.
Right.
Not lemon jello. Lemon joy.
Not lemon joy, the dishwasher.
Not lemon limangelo.
Right.
Limangelo. They get dish soap.
I can see that.
I absolutely see that.
Yeah.
I don't get that on my tongue, but as I smell it, I'm like, yeah, if you're not looking for the right
flavor,
the right aromas, right, you're going to absolutely get pine salt or whatever.
Right.
Pine salt. Oh,
so why is she... Because you're like, you could explain why.
I'm so
she
sorry.
Likes
the
this one.
The reason is okay. The IBUs are 80 or 80, okay, and the ABV is 8.3. So the theory is,
that's right.
Gary, my buddy Gary, mm-hmm. who is not a hophead, who does not like hops, much as yourself, mm-hmm. has a theory that if the IBUs are 10% or 10%, is that the math? Yeah.
Like 10% of
10% of the ABV.
No, other way around.
Or the ABV is 10% of the IBUs. Whatever.
Yeah,
so
figures, yeah.
It's an 8% beer or 8.3% beer. It's an 880 IBUs.
Oh, okay.
That's 10%.
Yes.
Ish.
That means that the malt profile is high enough that there's more sweetness to it to balance out the IBUs.
Okay.
So if this was a 5% beer, this would be undrinkable to you.
Probably, okay.
Completely, and maybe to most of us.
I mean...
It would be an intense fucking beer, right. This would. But since there's enough malt base there, enough sweet base to go along with this the bitterness, his theory is, and so far it's true... And this is a prime example. This is almost exactly a 10% differential. 10%
right.
differential. This is a balanced beer at that point.
Right.
Instead of an intense beer one way or the other. And I find malty beers offensive. He loves malty beers. Like the Marzins, like the real sweet, sticky Marzins, the springtime beers, the German Fest beers. Where there's really sticky and sweet.
Yeah, man, it feels like you're trying to drink a lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
or like a chocolate pudding
thick
or something.
And viscous and it's just there's nothing but a sweet caramel.
Caramel coffee.
Caramel coffee. I was gonna say caramel apple, but it's not caramel apple. It's like a caramel ball inside, on a piece of bread.
Yeah.
Caramel on bread. That's what. These springtime Marzins are to me, but this one is balanced.
Right.
Right.
So if you threw more hops in one of these,
it would be too much.
Marzins beers, I think that would balance.
Oh,
it
the
out.
Marzins. Okay,
I think it would give. I think it would give more bitterness to the sweetness and balance it out.
Balance it out.
As in, this one was supposed to be a high IBU beer.
Right.
And they went, okay, well, let's balance it out by throwing some more grain in here to get more sugar extracted and also boosting the ABV.
Totally. Well, I totally agree with him based on this one. And now I want to go find other beers and try it.
I kind of do too. Gary, you
nerd. I have done my job. That is perfect. That is exactly what part of this podcast is all about is describing to you what beer is all about, because there's so much about beer that people don't know or care about. And that's fine. If you don't care, whatever, just drink what you like. I don't care. But these nuances are exactly what I want to bring awareness to. These ratios. So now you can walk into the grocery store or the beer store and go, okay, Pete said, okay, this is a 9% beer. This is going to kick my ass.
Pete said that Gary said,
but
right,
it will get truly
Gary's theory.
Yeah,
and
Gary theory.
Well, he's the engineer. He's the math guy. So he really really understands.
I'm gonna start calling this the Gary
enough.
Theory.
That's fair enough.
The Gary. You know what? That doesn't work. Never mind.
So
forget
you see,
it. Forget it all.
You see double IPA.
Right. I'm gonna.
And then you look at the
away.
ABV. You're gonna go, oh, double IPA. Fuck that. I don't want nothing to do with that. But you look at it and go, okay, well, that says 7.5% ABV. What's the IBUs? Bingo. And that's the message that's one of the many messages I'm hoping to awesome. Get across here.
Can we do it without having to watch the terrible movie?
No. because oh man, I got some good ones coming up.
And some not so good ones, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of the terrible movie, what did we all think of this terrible movie?
It was terrible.
A great question. Sorry.
How many beers does it take to enjoy this movie? Because
out of how many beers?
Out of six.
Out of six?
Out of six.
So how does this work, Troy?
Oh, yes. There are six. We're going to do the six-pack review.
Yes.
Rating.
Six-pack rating, yes.
And how many beers do you have to drink to make this movie enjoyable? Six beers means that it's terrible. It's the Phantom Menace.
So you have to be tanked.
One beer, you enjoy it. Zero beers is Star Wars, you know? It's great. Don't need to drink any beers to do it. So, Kathleen, how many beers did you need to drink to make this beer enjoyable? No. This
movie enjoyable. My beer is very enjoyable.
This is obviously a very strong beer.
And so was the last
one. Totally going to have to drive home.
Yeah, you are.
So, I not only... Because usually when I do this, I don't, like... I kind of, after we have the conversation, it's like, okay, what's my thought process here? Or maybe I'll jot down a number when we're done watching the movie. But when we finished this movie, I immediately wrote down, so many boobs, so dumb, four beers, pounded quickly. That's what it is. You have to have four, and you have to have them boom, 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 one right after the other, and then you can watch the movie.
All right. Well, I mean, like, If they're Bodies, I only need one. Cause Jesus.
Well, yeah.
I think that, honestly, Dave, what do you think? What do you think?
What do I think about the movie?
How many beers?
I'm kidding.
Is this your first time, Dave?
No, this is not my first time.
No, what do you think about kumquats? Tell me.
I love kumquats. About six what? Kumquats. No.
Oh, kumquats.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I'm not even going to repeat what I thought you said.
Come what?
About this movie, please tell me.
Sure. Two beers. Honestly.
Nice. Yeah, sure.
Two beers. And it's actually really one beer because I would enjoy just drinking a beer with this movie. Two, because it's bad. And the reason it's not more is because I do have fond memories of this movie. Mm. So I did watch it as a kid, and
so you have a nostalgia beer going for
yes.
you.
Yes, yeah.
The nostalgia value takes a beer away from it. Mm. Like it takes a beer out. If I had never seen this movie before, and had to watch it cold for the first time, it would probably be like three. Mm. Nostalgia purposes, and especially since I watched it for the first time, right. In the middle of puberty, and there's just boobalicious, just glistening naked boobs all over the place. I don't think I'll ever be able to find a way to hate this movie.
Yeah, noteworthy.
Yes.
Noteworthy boobs.
So, yes, two beers.
Pete?
Two beers. I will echo Dave. I saw this when my dad and I went on a ski trip to New York for the first time, and I think that's where I first got this movie.
Ooh, super uncomfortable. You watched this movie with your dad?
I did not. One of my dad's friends.
What is wrong with your dad?
One of my dad's friends. And I, you know, I don't know.
Last Dragon?
To be frank, I don't remember exactly how I got this VCR tape with two dirty movies and a Warren Miller glorious film on it. I don't, and it's a 90 minute, the Warren Miller film's a whole 90 minutes. So I've got three 90 minute films on one VHS tape. It's beautiful. And it doesn't rewind very well. So I don't know if that's the tape or the VCR that I still have.
You mean you didn't hold on to your rewinder?
No, I did not. I used my VCR to rewind.
That is an appliance I haven't thought about in a long
no
time.
No joke. Damn it. There's a lot of nostalgia going on here. Not the first set of boobs I saw on the silver screen. Stop that.
Stop what?
Nothing. but there's a lot of... It is Animal House to me. It's so much fun. Yeah. There's nothing but drinking and debauchery and skiing and skiing and more skiing. And yeah. We really didn't... None of us really talked about the skiing. It was glorious.
The skiing was very impressive.
I mentioned the skiing.
We did mention it, but you know, the guy that does all the skiing wanted to talk about all the skiing.
Right.
But we didn't. I didn't need to. There's what happens on the slope was merely filler for the film.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's army trucks arriving to shoot the monkey. But it was entertaining versus the army trucks arriving to shoot the monkey.
Not so entertaining.
Not entertaining.
Yeah, not really. Anyway, I give it, I liked it well enough, 2 beers, because 1 beer I'm going to have anyway. The second beer, just because.
You have 1 beer with Godfather 2, right?
I have 1 beer.
With breakfast.
Yeah. Sometimes. 2 beers.
Okay. 2 beers.
Done.
Okay, good.
All right, I'm going to go with 3 beers because I have no nostalgia for this. I didn't see it until yesterday-ish.
Thursday.
And I also have...
That was yesterday.
Thursday was yesterday, yes.
I know.
there's something to be said about sitting on a couch with somebody that you know is hating the movie that you're watching with you. Oh. That does tend to diminish the enjoyment a little bit.
I did not even hardly complain out loud with this
movie. No, but you could feel it. Like, I remember...
And you stayed awake.
The best example of this is I remember when I was... I studied overseas and I went at Christmas. I went to Ireland and stayed with a friend, and I really wanted to show her Clerks.
Oh,
does not translate.
That's
a
tough movie.
Yeah, oh. I love Clerks. I love Clerks, and I'm sitting there watching it, and I could feel her hating this movie, like viscerally hating the movie. I'm like, oh no, what did I do to this poor Irish girl?
Irish lesson.
And it was not as visceral yesterday with Kathleen. Wow. She was just like kind of like annoyed with it generally. Like, what the fuck is wrong with this movie?
It's an annoying film.
It's kind of an annoying.
In a row?
For one that has boobs, it's an annoying
film. Well, I mean, and it completely comes down to plot, where it's like, who are these people? What are they doing? Why is, they're going to hook up now. That's good. Okay, good. And...
Right. So,
but you know what?
The bad guys versus the good guys.
There's bad guys. There's good guys. There's some jokes.
But you don't know why they're, as my kids like to say, and it drives me crazy, versing each other.
Versing?
Yes. They don't know how to describe the concept of two people competing.
And
they know that it's like this versus this.
Like
so
versing?
They think it's a verb, and they say they're versing. Yeah. And it's like,
it's not even versusing. It's just
versing. That's not a word.
So it's 3 beers.
Okay.
3 beers for Troy. Well, folks, I guess that's it for tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm a learn by the lyrics, so we probably should wrap it up. I believe next month is Dave's birthday.
It is.
Yeah, and we have yet Dave is still milling about and thinking about what
I think I've narrowed it down.
Oh God.
I think I've narrowed it down, and I've not actually seen the movie. I like Kathleen, I'm looking for movies that were around my birth year or like around it.
Sure.
So we'll see. I don't know.
It's a good trend.
It can be, and it can be terrible. It can backfire.
But if I choose a movie that I've not seen, that I cannot vouch for it, so I might owe everybody an apology again.
Again?
No, seriously. Like even between casts, they were like, "Oh yeah, well, you're Battle Beyond the Stars, Dick."
You're the Battle Beyond the Stars.
Yeah, you got some making up to do, buddy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So choose wisely, sir.
Well, whatever the case, I mean, if we watch the movie and if anybody's paid for it, and I watch it and it's bad, I will pay you back.
Well, it just depends on what it is. So, we will exit by saying, Kathleen, how can you get a hold of the cast?
Well, dear listener, should you choose to contact us with high praise or loud complaints, either one we will be accepting of. If you would like to email us, you can send us an email at gbbmn. No, I said that wrong. No, I said that right, but it feels wrong.
It always feels wrong.
So I'm going to say.
Go to the Facebook page.
So I'm going to say it again. gbbmnpodcast@gmail.com. Twitter and Instagram, we are the same impossible combination of letters of gbbmnpodcast. Or you can find us on the Facebooks at Good Beer Bad Movie Night, where we used the whole word. Thank you, Facebook land, for letting us do that. Anyway, if you have suggestions, comments, cries of outrage, if you have watched any of these movies on our advice, you clearly aren't listening well. So, you know, let us know thoughts and feelings and what have you. And also, if you would be so kind as to leave us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever it is that
shockingly
you catch
important.
Your podcast delights. It is super helpful for letting other glorious beer aficionados and insane
and
movie
dumbass
fans find us and get to listen to us as well. So
we prefer good ratings, but we'll take
whatever we can get. Mm-hmm. Right. So because thank you, Kathleen, for Good Beer Bad Movie Night. My name is Pete. For Dave,
Dave,
Troy,
Troy,
and Kathleen.
Show enough.
Good night.